Hi, welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Hallelujah, Father. It is critical at this moment in time that we all make the correct start for a year of major events. We are completely dependent upon you. Nothing in this life is more important. The highest priority of our lives is our relationship with you, the understanding of your word, the implementation of your word into our lives, and the living out of your word. For the entrance of your word brings light, life, understanding, even to the simple, as the word says. Thank you, Lord, today. In you we find the word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us. In him was the light, and the life was the light, and the light was the life of man. Thank you, Jesus. Make us receptive. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, so glad to have you here this morning. Let me just clarify a little issue that all of you know. Maybe it's because it's like the original Hebrew day. Still does in Israel. The Hebrew day begins at 6 p.m. and it the next day begins again at 6 p.m., the 24-hour cycle. And so tonight is the official start of the Daniel fast. Not today, tonight. And so from tonight, sundown, so to speak, 21 days, 21 sundowns forward, the 4th of February, again, Sunday night, Sunday night, Sunday night, Sunday night, Sunday night. That's when, after the blast of the trumpet tonight, you count 21 days to the blast of the trumpet 21 days from now. So today you can still enjoy whatever you want to, but from tonight we enter into a period of extreme consecration. It's very interesting. I mentioned the people watching us over the internet and immediately had a response of Ghassan Malkev. And he is, he's from Jerusalem. He's our regular tour guide in Israel. Gus. And obviously Gus is watching us. So we say shalom to Gus. And what I like to say to you in Jerusalem, in fact, all of Israel, is say, Ivrechata Vishmarecha. And what I like very much too is Vehashem Lecha Shalom. So that you may know that the blessing of the Lord is upon you, and the name of the Lord will make you rich in blessing. That be to my very precious friends of Israel. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says, as we enter into preparation for the start of this here Daniel fast, it says, for who is known who understood the mind, the counsels and the purposes of the Lord, Hashem, the Lord, so as to guide and to instruct him and to give him knowledge. But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and we do hold the thoughts, the feelings, the purposes of his heart. We have the mind of Christ, the Messiah. Everybody say, we have the mind of Christ. Now, having said that, and a very heart-touching moment for me always is when I speak to the people of Israel, and Gus, of course, is very special to us. So what we do is we're wanting to speak love and blessing over Israel. Can you say amen? Yes, indeed. Indeed. I want to talk to you about the book of Daniel, which is really one of my favorite books of the old, of the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, if you will. And this particular book has got so much for me in it. I've often said I feel in many ways like Daniel because of the fact that God has spoken to me so often in dreams and visions of the night. And I want to know what the Lord has to say to us as we enter into the Daniel fast. Now, believe me, I've got that much knowledge, and dank die Here, thank God, that I've got a couple of days in a row that I can share some fragments of gleanings of that. And there are many things that are just very important to me. The book of Daniel in chapter number 1, and I see here is a graphic that Philip made, Walking with God, Holy Spirit Fire Conference. Maybe if Philip's at the back there, I see him remove the writing so that people can see the picture. Okay, and put the writing somewhere off Daniel and off the lions. All right. Philip, your shop, just do it. When I was your age, by now it would have been done. All right. This remarkable prophet in the Bible, a big favorite of mine, and an exemplary life. As one said in the course of the week, some people only occupy a chair at home, in the office, wherever, on a train, on a plane, a chair. It's just an analogous metaphor, if you will. And when they die, the chair is empty and is void and is no more occupied. Their place of occupation is left empty. They left everything behind. But here is a man that did not leave everything behind. He left behind a remarkable heritage because of his enormous consistency of devotion to God, serving as a huge inspiration to us. For us to understand how the mind of Christ works is very critical to us. Very, 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 very important to every life in this place. Now, I have listened to sermons and preachers and things in the midst of going through books and things, and I realized that much of what I hear makes you feel very good, but it's not practical. In other words, you hear that you're more than a conqueror, but you don't know how to get there. You hear that you're an overcomer, but you don't know how to overcome. So may God help me to bring this into practical perspective. Because after all, you have to live this walk with God. You have to live a life that is the life that God has ordained for you. In context of Daniel, we find Daniel with his compatriots going across, his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, going across after the King Nebuchadnezzar seized Jerusalem, conquered the city, destroyed the temple, and carried away some of the vessels of the temple off to Babylon. Now, sometimes one wonders what in the world caused this for them to land up in Babylon. May I say to you a couple of things you need to, I'm a thinker, you need to think about this, that God knows the end. He declares, he makes a decree of the end from the beginning. It's not a surprise to God that they would be in Babylon. It's not a surprise to God that there would be a battle, let's say, with the Philistines. It's not a surprise to God that David would go through a course of life and finally end up as king of all Israel. It's not a surprise to God when he takes them out of Egypt and brings them into the promised land. None of those things are any aspect of it is something that God would not know about. The intricacy of the involvement with God in our lives, for me, honestly, is quite frightening. Quite frightening. Because I wonder if I could say to you that every nerve in my system is connected to exactly what I've just said. The intricacy of his involvement to each and every one of us is just quite frightening, because God is Hashem, which is the Lord, is Shema, which means he is everywhere present. He's just omnipresent. And so if I look at how he's involved with us and with these men, now what caused them to land in Babylon? Obviously, the sins of the southern tribes of Israel, known corporately as the Jews. They were captured, these young Jewish boys, and carried off to Babylon. Well, if you take it from the reverse perspective and think about that a little bit, you know, it is almost as if there is a purpose with that, because there are two cities in the Bible that are really prominent cities. The one is Jerusalem, cannot be forgotten, will forever exist. And the other one is Babylon, which will be removed, Revelation 17, and particularly Revelation 18, that speaks about literal Babylon. That will be removed. But these two cities symbolize two different things: the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. We're the children of the light, and we have the mind of Christ. And it is like God injected into Babylon godly people in the form of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would play a purpose and a role, and ultimately it would lead with them and people like Esther and the king, that the whole story there, and it would lead these godly people and Mordecai, characters that were there, Ezekiel was there, Daniel was there. These people would play a major role in impacting the ages from Babylon. And I need to tell you this morning, that as we enter into the Daniel fast with the blast of the trumpet tonight, that you may ask yourself, what on earth am I doing in this Babylon world system? Did you ever consider the fact that God could have injected you right there into that place where you are? That you be light to people who are on their way and marching towards hell? That you be a witness of Christ the Lord and bring those people to their senses, as Daniel brought king after king to their senses. That God uses the godly people in circumstances completely adverse to them. That God Almighty has a plan and a purpose, even though you wind yourself up in a place where you say, this is ungodly. This is a place of witchcraft. Place of the headquarters of witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. As Dr. Derek Prince said, the three legs of the occult: witchcraft, divination, sorcery. You might find yourself in a place where people are quite ungodly, victimizing, intimidating, and corrupt in all of their ways, and you are there, but God, I always say but God, for many years, but God has got a purpose with you being just there. And you need to understand how the Lord works with these things. So we have to prepare ourselves for the Daniel fast. We have to see they got the writing nice. We have to prepare ourselves for the Daniel fast. Understand, what is it that can take this prophet and he could walk into a lion's den or walk around and these lions that are standing around looking actually quite stupid? They're, you know, particularly this one on the left and this female on the left, and even that male stays, the most powerful one of them all, he's staying at a distance. I could talk about the lions now, I could talk about the species of lions and all of that, but this is the large type, it's called the Barbary lion of northern Africa that was used by the Roman emperors, and these lions have the exact same weight, had the exact same weight as that of the tigers, the heavy tigers, the heaviest of the tigers, they weighed the same. They were called the Barbary lions, and they were, the last one was shot in Morocco, and they claim still some of them, or at least some of their DNA is present in the Moroccan zoo. That being beside the point, these are big lions, and they're from North Africa, obviously from that territory. They must be of that species. They're surrounding Daniel, and he could not be bothered with them. See, now, having said that, we read Daniel, and we see they arrive in Babylon, where the light arrives, darkness instantly has a problem. And you see attack after attack on Daniel and his friends, but because they did not compromise, they were kept, protected, guarded, sustained, fed, cared for, and promoted. Now, if we go to Daniel chapter number 1, verse number 9, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king who has appointed your food and drink. Your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are of your age? Daniel was requesting, he says, I don't want this food. In fact, he did not, in verse 8, decide. He was resolute. He was adamant that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies because it came from the sacrificial altar of Bel and the Tower of Bel and from the marketplaces where they sold all the meat to Babylon, of Babylon, the Babylonian population, was sold to the people, but first dedicated to the idol god Bel at the Tower of Bel of the market square out there in the city of Babylon, and then fed to these people. Daniel said, I don't want that, even if it's for of the king's delicacies, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the chief of the eunuchs in verse 8 that he might not defile himself. So now God brought Daniel into the favor of the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king who has appointed your food and drink. Why should ye see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head to the king. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Just give us 10 days. Just give us 21 days. By the way, Little Falls Christian Center started the Daniel fast 28 years ago. Today, at the blast of the trumpet, is our 28th. We've been doing this before anybody that I know about did exactly what we do for 21 days. Then my friends started doing it in their churches, and that spread to other churches. Now it's everywhere. Everybody's fasting the Daniel fast. That's good. Test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Vegetables to eat and water to drink. Stop there and listen to me very carefully now. It is our time of special devotion to God. It is not a switch of diet. It is a devotion to God. It is not a time of delicacy. It is a time of consecration and humbling before the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, connecting with God, worshiping the Lord, having impartation of the mind of Christ, getting wisdom for the year, his blessing upon all that we do, and that it's not about the recipe. It's about the fact that I want to get to God, for I'm after the mind of Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. I read you something just after this, which is quite interesting. Vegetables to eat, water to drink. Let our appearance be examined before you then, And the appearance of the young men, the other people there, who eat the portion of the king's delicacies as you see fit, and so deal then with your servants. So he consented with them this matter and tested them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, verse 15, their features appeared better and fatter in the flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of the delicacies and the wine which they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Not about the diet, it's about getting rid of defilement of Babylon. It's not about the diet and losing weight, it's getting rid of defilement of the Babylonian system of this world and hearing very clearly what God is saying. As for these four young men, God gave them, here comes the reward, knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding again in all visions and dreams. That is what I personally am after in my life, regardless of my previous experiences. Now, at the end of the days where the king said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before King Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And therefore they served before the king. No compromise brings much promotion, unleashes the gifts of God in your life, and causes you to out-wisdom, so to speak, others that are around you. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, verse number 20, about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers who were in all of his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Now it's very interesting that in the looking for men, in verse number 3 in the same chapter, just go back a little bit, the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and notice, quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. The word Chaldeans in the Aramaic means demons. How's that? They had to be quick to understand. A lot of people say, well, you're not quick to understand. That's intellectual capacity. That's mental age over chronological age. And that is the gift set that that differs one person from the other. It separates us. One person is intelligent, the other one is not. No, not so. They have no idea that there is intelligence and there is divine wisdom. And the one is infinitely more powerful than human intelligence. Now, don't look at me like I'm talking Hebrew or Aramaic or something this morning. How many of you know that the mind of Christ is far more powerful than human intellectual capacity? Now, with that in mind, I have here, I was paging in the manuscript which I brought back from Jerusalem, rather heavy in a big book of the manuscripts of Einstein. And he writes in his own words, quote, unquote, Einstein, I want to know how God created this world. I'm not interested in this or that phenomenon, in the spectrum of this or that element. I want to know his thoughts. I want to know his thoughts. The rest are details, quote, unquote. Einstein said, what I'm interested is not this, that, the other. These are all little details. You know, that's peripheral, and some of them peripheral anomalies, whatever. But what I'm interested in is the thoughts of the Almighty. We have the mind of Christ. We can activate that. Daniel Fast has a major, major impact on that if one does it right. This world is full of dropouts. They last only 3 days on carrots and then they cannot live no more. Amen? You get a lot of people with good New Year's resolution. I'm not even talking about the church. People in the world do New Year's resolution. There's another thing Einstein says here, and the same thing, because I'm quoting from his book. He says, two things are indefinite, the universe and human stupidity. And I'm not sure about the former. The universe, infinite, human stupidity. And he says, I'm not sure about the former, which is the universe. But he is persuaded. I am saying to you this morning that the difference that you can make and the difference that you will experience and the difference that will take you over every single obstacle of life is the impartation of the mind of Christ in your walk with God, to know His thoughts, to follow His thoughts, to practice His will, to put it into practice, and to become quite practical about the Bible. It is time to do just that. It is no good to say to you, well, you know, it's got like a sort of a hallelujah effect. You're more than a conqueror. You're accepted in the Beloved. You're a joint heir with Christ. Yes, you are. But how come people are not experiencing the abundant life as they ought to? The Daniel fast is just exactly for that purpose. Because Daniel said, number one is, I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to compromise. I will not take the king's delicacies. I am not going to eat any of the stuff that is fed to Babylon. And the Babylonian system even is the stuff that the king himself takes. I don't care if that king will kill you at the drop of a hat, will take your throat off in no time at all, take your head off, never mind throat, will have you sworded or pierced through with a sword at the blinking of an eye. He had that kind of power. He was the golden head of the statue, which he saw in the book of Daniel chapter number 2. And Daniel gave the interpretation. He was the one that saw all of that. And Daniel knew exactly who he was. But Daniel had understanding, and that understanding, let's get this clear. One of the clear activators of spiritual mind of Christness in your life is to take serious a situation like this and say, I'm going to start this and I'm going to finish this. I'm going to do it all the way. I'm not going to compromise. I am not going to compromise. I'm going to follow the Daniel pattern. This is our 28th time that we do this. The 29th time was a water fast. And I said 40-day water fast in 1989. And I remember people, remember Joyce came into the church carrying bottles of water. Most people lasted 2-3 days and they were off the fast. And I realized I'm the only guy here that's going on with this. And I realized this is just not going to cut it. And so we abandoned that thought. And then I prayed to God and said, do what Daniel did. I said, Lord, what did do what Daniel did. What did Daniel do? Go to Daniel chapter number 1. Read it. And then from there, the rest was logics. Now they're doing it everywhere. But this is our 28th Daniel fast, which I like is 4 times 7. And 7, of course, in Jewish terminology means kingdom of God. In Christian terminology, numerics would mean the kingdom of God. It would mean the Holy Spirit perfection. It is a time of perfecting your relationship with God. 4 times 7. 4 equals the 4 corners of the earth in the 70th year of Israel. Israel was reborn 1948 in midnight 01 and 15th of May 1948. They were born again as a nation, and it's 70 years that will be concluded by the time that they have the 15th of May of this year. So we are right now of this generation, that generation that Jesus said, behold the fig tree. There are signs and wonders. You only have to look at the world news. You only have to see what's going on in the world. You only have to see what God is busy doing. He's speaking to the nations, and he's speaking to them through the codes of the Bible. It's very, very compelling. It's actually very scary. Let me tell you, if anything proves the existence, apart from signs and wonders and miracles, but if there's one miracle that I've come across in my life, it is the study of these manuscripts, these ancient manuscripts, and finding out, wow, what kind of intellectual capacity, way beyond anything that even modern computers have to offer. Wow. That he would know, he would write your name there, what would happen, he would write world events there, he would name the storms, he would name everything, even the declaration of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel by Donald Trump, the president of the United States, all of those things are there. He comes out, God Almighty writes in advance the year, the time, the when, the why, wherefore, how can it be if, like one of the rabbis said, this conclusively proves that God is definitely for real. This is not of a human being. So having said that, we have to look at Daniel and what he did. And I'm saying to you, if I look at the command that he got spiritually, that's why I like these lines. I have a similar picture, not like this one exactly, but it's been hanging in my study for all the years of my ministry, that exact picture, but just a different one. This one has been changed, but the original one hangs in my study. Well, a copy, a print of the original has been there all the time. And I look at the way that this fast gave him command, gave him boldness, gave him the mind of Christ, the Messiah, Mashiach, gave him the insight of the thoughts of God, which Einstein was very much interested in because he recognized God. He laid the foundation stone of the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Gave him access to what God was saying and thinking. Got communication, got angels coming down. And so if we look at what he did, we realize that I could explain to you that it's not just a case of not compromising. It's a case of what he did and what he got. He got so much favor. He would outlive those kings, one after the other. He would go all the way to the Medo-Persian Empire. He would rebuke kings. He would rebuke Belshazzar. And in the process of talking to Belshazzar, the king, and that feast that they had, he would come out with the interpretation of the fingers, not hand, fingers, writing on the wall. The part of a hand that appeared and was on the wall. It says that in the Hebrew, it says fingers. So he just saw these fingers writing on the wall, and he would come out with an astounding revelation that stretches beyond your and my imagination unless you know about these things. And he said these words, many, many tekel ufarsin. That is just an incredible statement. Therein lies a code that unlocks many things, even the locality of the Ark of the Covenant. So, dear friends, what else did Daniel do? Let's just, before we go to the fact that we know Daniel has been 10 times better with his friends than all the rest of those that bunch out there in Babylon, if I go to Daniel chapter number 9, I want to show you two more aspects of this prophet. Where am I? My time's up. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Okay. In Daniel chapter... number 9, he's again studying the books of the prophet Jeremiah. Just take note in chapter number 9, verse number 2. Now, to save time, I'm not going to read all that, but in chapter number 10, Daniel in verse 2, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. It begins precisely tonight with a blast of the trumpet. It'll end 3 full weeks later, the same thing. I ate no pleasant food. It's not what spice I can put into the rice. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. He was doing 2 things. In chapter number 9, he's studying the words of his predecessor prophet Jeremiah. In chapter number 10, he throws himself before God and he begins to go into a state where he is saying, I'm not going to have anything delicate, no delicacies for me, none of this stuff. I'm focusing on one thing. I'm praying on behalf of my nation. Which is in trouble. And I did so 21 days. 21 days. And I will not go delicate, nicey-nicey. I don't care if I chew beans and chew carrots. It does not matter. And drink water. But it's time to commit to God properly. You want the mind of Christ. You want to activate. You want to know I have got spiritual authority over the environment that surrounds me. You want to know that wisdom is multiplied to you. You want to know that there is in this year, there is favor for you. There is promotion for you. God will send people across your path. You'll be able to give them counsel like Daniel did. That'll cause promotion. The gift of a man makes room for him and brings him into the presence of great people. If you are with God, and if you stand with God, and if you want God to be everything in your life in this year, then stand to your feet, give the Lord a praise offering in this place. Come on, everybody. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we have got tonight, starting with the blast of the trumpet, we've got 21 days. If we want that reward, if we want command, if we want anointing, if we want and hold the thoughts, the mind of Christ, if we want to have supernatural faith, if we want to have miracle working power in our prayers, if we want to have a blessing on our finances, if we want to have what God has got for us, so many blessings that are involved, then we need to have a complete consecration. Consistency, devotion, knowledge of the Lord is understanding. I pray, Lord, that from this night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, next week, 21 days will be a game changer, a life changer, an inspirer, an activator, loosening up the mind of Christ to our thoughts, that we wouldn't have to go to other people to go counsel. No, we will have, we will hold, we will have access to the mind of Christ. We shall surrender, we shall devote, for the Lord is our God. He leads us in the ways of righteousness. He promotes us, He protects us, He provides for us. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. Father, therefore, I bless your people. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you one and all. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift up His countenance over you, be gracious to you, and He grant you salvation and peace in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.